Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Now, I just want you to know we are keeping track with the things that are happening in the world around us, and I know some folks are wearing masks this morning. Feel free to do so. We're not under a mask mandate, so we'll just ask that everybody be wise, and if you're at risk, please wear a mask. I mean, you're welcome to do so. And fortunately, we've got plenty of seats down front if you need to social distance. That's not an excuse for a husband to not sit beside his wife. Okay, just so we kind of get that whole family thing oriented. But it's good to see everybody this morning. Please remember everything that's happening in our world and keep that in mind. A couple of things to bring to your attention. Our offering boxes are out in the vestibule. Probably for another month or so, we're going to leave them out there, and then we'll make decisions moving into the future. But for now, they'll be out, and you can put your offering in those, and we encourage you to do so. There's going to be a couples retreat this month, the 20th through the 22nd. It is an opportunity for couples to just be together. We have a pretty loose schedule. As part of that weekend, it's Friday evening, all day Saturday, and then we finish up on Sunday afternoon. And a lot of time to interact. Now, we're having it at church camp, and so we're asking that you leave technology behind and focus on your significant other. We think that'll solve about 90% of the struggles in life. But we also understand that there is jobs that sometimes you can't always get away, and there's family emergencies and those things that you still want to be available for. And so we've kind of directed the satellites away from Camp Odioquo, so it's sporadic anyway at best. But the intent for the weekend is to give couples a chance to come together. Now, not only are we asking that we remove technology, we're going to stay in tents. Remove some of that extra filter away. You'll have access to flush toilets. You'll have access to showers. But we're going to be in tents. We're going to be cooking over a campfire. Anyhow, if you're interested in a weekend to kind of just strengthen the bond, husband and wife, Lynn and I are going and would encourage you to give that some thought. Feel free to talk to me and we can get the details on that pulled together. Should be a really good opportunity. Our speakers for the weekend are Pastor Kevin and Kelly King, and they're going to be sharing some stuff with us, and so keep that in mind. Cost is $100 per couple, we can make that work. Tomorrow evening, it's do or die for the softball team. We played against a team, fortunately, it is a double elimination, and the first round did not go like planned or anticipated. It was difficult. But we have regrouped, and tomorrow night at 6:15 we play. If we win, we play again at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So we're anticipating a doubleheader with coffee and tea between or something. I don't know. But we play at 6:15 for sure, and we are optimistic in saying we'll probably play again at 9. So keep that in mind. This afternoon, we're going to have the Eastern District Missionary Rally, and if you have looked at our sign and the announcements that have been on the screen, you'll notice they all say 2:30, but in the bulletin it says 2 o'clock. It's 2:30. Sorry about that. At 2:30 this afternoon, Ben Tobias, who is the CGGC Director of Global Missions, and he's going to be here and giving us kind of a backdrop, an overview on what's happening on the mission field throughout the world, and would encourage you to be back here for that at 2:30. There will be a light lunch served afterwards, pizza. I'm not sure pizza. And so that'll be offered if you would like to have some. Okay, now I have a couple of prayer requests that I don't think are in your bulletin. One, remember the Kirshner family, Lauren's sister Mary passed away. She's from Moundsville, West Virginia. Her service will be this week, and so keep the Kirshner family in your prayers. Also, keep Jeanette Erwick's daughter, Lorna, in your prayers. She's moving to Tennessee, and to make a long story short, she has a place to stay, but she needs a job and all that. So traveling mercies, and then for God to just draw close to her in the weeks to come to work out those details. And then a pastor friend of mine, Terry Steinauer, he retired last October, and he was just diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it has spread. And they're not giving him, the future is looking dark at the moment. And so if you would keep him in your prayers, he's begun treatments, and they don't know for sure just what's what, but the doctor said that it's pretty serious. And so keep that family in your prayers. And then in your bulletin, another pastor friend that I've done a lot with, Jim Clausing. He was dean of the junior high week of camp for a number of years. A lot of folks know him. His daughter was 19. She was in an automobile accident on her way home from work, and she passed away. Her service will be Wednesday this week. Keep that family in your prayers, very much unanticipated. And she was a wonderful young lady, fiery red hair, and all that goes with it. And she'll be sorely missed as well. Anything that I may have missed or other prayer requests or announcements? Oh, Annie. Remember Annie Kerrig? She was the treasurer for Mountain Vision forever, and has, you'll remember not long ago, she had a stroke, and she was able to come back home. She is now at Smithville Western for some rehab, hoping that she'll be able to walk again. And so keep them in your prayers. Dee? Yeah. The firefighters, there's a number of fires, California and in the West. It's pretty bad out there, and so keep all of those folks in your prayers as well. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are truly a great and a gracious God, and Lord, you come and you meet us where we are, and Lord, we're so thankful for that, because this morning our hearts are a little heavy. There's been a number of families that have been touched by the loss of a loved one, and it's just so difficult, and it's even more so when a parent loses a child. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with these families, that you would draw close to them, and Lord, that your Spirit would come and minister, and Lord, as they grieve, to give them hope, to give them that knowledge, to reiterate that for those who know you as Savior, we will spend eternity together. And Lord, this time that we're apart is but a blink of an eye, but at the same time, hearts are hurting. They need your comfort and your presence, and we ask that you would be with these families. And Lord, we ask also for those that are struggling, and Lord, there's so many sickness and disease, and some have been mentioned, and some of them are private within our hearts, and Lord, we ask that you would touch and heal, and Lord, to be with your people. We don't always know what your will is, but we know this, we as your people, you've invited us to crawl upon your knee and to ask of you, and our hearts come asking this day, and Lord, we ask you to be with people, that you would heal bodies, that you would make ways where there are no ways, that you would provide for your people, that you would stand beside all of us and give us hope in the midst of the struggle. Lord, just walk with us, because there's so many things on a day-to-day life that we encounter, that we run into, and how we respond is amplified as people know of our faith in you, and Lord, how you have changed our hearts and our lives, and they watch us like hawks, and Lord, while we're out there and things happen, they see how we respond, and that's how they get their view of you, and Lord, just help us to be the kind of people that are able to communicate that relationship with you and your intervention in our hearts and our lives, that the world would see all that you're doing. And Lord, just come and walk beside us. Lord, give us hope and infuse us with that as we live our lives on an ongoing basis. Lord, we live in a world where so often there's so much baggage that we carry along with us that we don't know what to do with, or we don't know how to get rid of it. And Lord, we just need your help. And Lord, inspire us and give us hope and courage. Walk with us as a body of believers, Lord. We really need you. Stand beside us this day. And all these things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
We invite you to stand and sing with us, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me slow of heart to move by some dear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stray, and guide them in thy homeward way. Teach me strong in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give. Master, let me live. Our next song is O Jesus, I Have Promised.
O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thy near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the trumping sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me.
Jesus, draw me nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow thy master and my friend. Amen.
Our scripture for this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and the streams in the wasteland. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Now, as I look around this morning, I'm not seeing children, and so I know there was one here a little bit ago, but she's toddling. Does she want to come down? Come on down. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Oh, there's two. You brought a friend. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, it's your sister. Even better. Oh, that's so cool. Well, come on down. Have a seat. And we'll chat for a minute. Yeah. She did. Oh, I like them. I have to wear glasses, too. But right now I have contacts, and so I put my glasses in my eyes in the morning, and it kind of works. It's pretty cool. But glasses are neat. I like yours because they get that blue and purple, both mix going on. It looks nice. I like them. Yeah, turquoise. Okay. Well, this morning I brought something with me. Do you know what that is? Yeah. It's something that we often use in the kitchen. It's called a funnel. You see, when we have a little bottle and we're pouring from a bigger bottle to put in there, we need a funnel to help us keep everything so we don't spill. Do you ever spill anything? I spill stuff all the time. You can ask my wife. She's yelling from the sound booth saying, he's messy. And I need funnels for everything that I do because sometimes I put oil in my car engine and I use a funnel so I don't spill it. Sometimes I actually should have a great big funnel when I pour myself a glass of milk because sometimes I spill. I get in a hurry. I want things to go faster. And I need help so I don't spill. Funnels are wonderful little things. And they remind me that God often tries to tell me things. And sometimes God tries to tell me things, and I need a funnel so that I can get it down so I can understand it. I need a funnel on the top of my head. So when God speaks to me, it would catch it all and put it right down into my brain so that I could remember it. Do you ever feel that way? That the information's coming so fast you can't get it all in your head? Oh, your day's coming. And when that happens, I have found that if I just stop and say, God, I can't handle all of that, He smiles and slows down so that I can understand what He wants me to know. In art class? Yeah, because you got to get the sprinkles in a little container or the glue bottle filled, all kinds of fun stuff, huh? Yeah. God wants us to understand, so He'll adjust it so that we can understand what He has for us. We're just so thankful that He talks to us. Well, let's...
There's a few other kids that are on vacation.
There are, yeah. There's a bunch of kids that are on vacation. We generally have a whole load down here, but they'll be back. I know. Mm-hmm. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just ask that You'd be with all the kids that are on vacation, and Lord, that You would just be with them wherever they are, and let them know that You love them. And we're thankful we can be here, and Lord, we just ask that You would draw close, and Lord, that we would know You, and You would speak to our hearts, and Lord, You'd put it through a funnel so that we can understand everything that You say to us. Lord, just watch over us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can either us go back to who you came with, or you can go with Jim. He's generally behind me, and he's got some special stuff for you. Yeah, he's standing back here. Food for thought. When remodeling the basement. Yeah. Well, this morning, I want to talk about... baggage. We've kind of started last week in talking about working through that and acknowledging that those things that happen to us, these things that sometimes we want to hold on to, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. And we've got to kind of work through that to find that out so we can hold on to the things that we need to and put off the things that we don't. And this morning, I want to talk about a new thing. Basically, a new thing in that in our relationship with God, He's constantly trying to help us to take another step, whatever that might be. We're all in different places, different phases in life, and taking that next step can often be a challenge. And kind of want to work through that a little bit this morning. Kind of to help us get started, have you ever been around an individual that something great happened early in their life? Maybe it was the star quarterback for the football team that threw the pass, that won the game, that got the victory, that earned the title. And it seems like every time you see them, they're more than happy to tell you about it, even 40 years after the event. You know, it's okay to relive and remember the past, but the difficulty that we have is sometimes we just kind of stay there and hang out in the past, and we really aren't able to go forward. Or maybe you've been around somebody that's used at wonderful things. Wow, I remember how good things used to be. Yeah, I remember when we didn't have flush toilets and had to use an outhouse in 90-degree weather. I remember those days so well. I remember when it was more about feeding your horse than it was putting gas in your tank. And if you wanted to plan a trip to the coast, it'd only take you 2-3 weeks to get there, 2-3 weeks to get back. Oh, it was just wonderful time. I remember when you could ride on a steam engine and breathe all that black smoke. It was just wonderful, the good old days. Ah, they were awesome. 9 kids in a 1-bedroom home. I remember. I mean, but we have a tendency to look on the things that are in the past, and it's okay to remember those things. It's okay for that to be part of our lives. I know some of us probably grew up in a house where maybe there were 9 kids in one room. I mean, it was just a reality, but we have a tendency to remember the things that we want to remember and not the whole picture. And it's fun to go on a steam engine ride as long as you can get off when you want. Sometimes the past is a little more attractive because it's a whole lot safer than the present. And I know when we remember the past, we remember it just as it was. But at least we knew. We know what happened. And when we look to the future, we're not so sure. And it can be just a little scary. I was sitting in my car this morning and driving here to church, and I noticed something rather unique, and it's probably not new to anybody, but there are 3 mirrors in my car. You know, 2 of them are about this big, and the other one's like this big. And it's for looking behind us to see where we've been. And there's times where we need to know what's going on behind us, you know, and it's important. But it's the other thing that really caught my eye for looking forward. There's this window that's humongous because we need to see what's in front of us and what's coming so that we can truly live. And we didn't have time to do the math to find out how much bigger the windshield is than the mirrors, but there's multiple times over. And I think all too often we want to look to the past and stay there because it's safe rather than look to the future because we're not sure what might happen and what's waiting for us. And this morning, I want to talk about leaving our baggage behind us for better or for worse, for moving confidently into this present reality of God's provision for us. And in order to do that, we have 3 steps that I want to walk through this morning. The first of those is, or the first step in starting a new thing, is to leave the past in the past. That sounds so easy, doesn't it? I mean, we think of this. I mean, I'm brought back. Remember in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, you know, God came in and there were the 10 plagues and all of this. And the Egyptians were real put out. And they told the Israelites, look, we want you out of our country. And they basically took their slaves and threw them out of the country. They wanted rid of the Israelites. And so the Israelites go out and they're headed to the promised land, the place filled with milk and honey and woo, and off they go. And what's the next thing you read about in the scripture? It's all the Israelites whining and complaining because they're in the desert. And it's such a bummer. And remember how good it was back in Egypt? They were slaves. Really? You see, there's a natural tendency in us to go with what we know rather than to venture out into new areas. And we need to acknowledge that's just true for us. I mean, even the most adventurous individuals still hold on to the things from their past. Now, our past is our past, and it has a place, but we got to remember we can't live there. There's nothing wrong with remembering the nostalgic days as the Israelites were walking across the desert of whips hitting our backs, of food being scarce, and of having to work extra hard every day. We often remember what we want to and push the rest aside. And if we're going to leave the past in the past, we really need to work at remembering the whole picture. It's fun to think and to hear, as my parents said, they walked uphill to school both ways and snow up to their waist in the middle of the summer because the weather was much different back then. It's fun to remember. It's a place that we visit. A small section as we look to the past, but not some place that we live. And Paul gives us this verse in Galatians 5:1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Paul's saying, leave the past in the past and stand firm in your new foundation. Don't go back to the way things used to be. Concentrate on moving forward. For the things that spring up, the opportunities that stand before you are much better and much greater than what you've experienced in the past. For what you've experienced in the past has prepared you for what lies ahead. I don't know how many times in Lynn and I's life there's been some blessing that has come our way, and we've been so blessed in so many ways. And we smile every time that that happens and say, we need to put this blessing in a special spot. Because I know there's a trial, there is a difficulty, there's something coming in our future that this blessing we're going to need to walk through. And every time something happens and we smile. Now, let me tell you, it's never been a good thing that's happened. It's always been a struggle. But in the struggle, we look at each other, we smile, because God provided everything that we needed for the struggle we're going to get through. Keep looking to the future. Keep the past in the past. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." I don't know if we have enough farmers here or not, but I was taught in driving a tractor, you always looked at the end of the row when you were plowing, because then you always plowed in a straight line. If you look behind you at the plows that are doing the work, you might end up in the next county before you're done. I tried that just because I wanted to prove the farmer wrong. It took him 45 minutes to straighten out my mess and get me squared back up. All the while, I had the privilege of admitting that my idea was not very bright. We look forward to where we're headed. The second step in starting a new thing is acknowledging that the best is yet to come. I remember Lynn and I talking, and we were talking about starting a family. Now, this had been a long conversation. We had been married 10 years before we started a family, and so this was a long process. Lynn wasn't ready, and neither was I, and the day and the weeks and the years slipped by, and we finally said, you know, maybe it was time to start a family. And so we began to have that conversation, and it was fun, you know, because well, we're all adults here. It's a lot of fun trying to start a family. I mean, and those were the great days. And I remember when Lynn took the test and it came back that she was with child. And I was so excited. I just couldn't contain myself until I realized that it meant I was going to be a father. And you know, it was a lot of fun. But when that reality began to seep into my life, I got a little nervous. Some would say scared. So I called my dad. He almost laughed at me. Now, it wasn't because he was trying to cut me down or anything along those lines. He knew exactly what I was talking about. And he said, "You have no idea what lies in your future. You have no idea. It's going to be great, son. It's going to be great. And your whole life you've been preparing for this." And he goes, "You're going to be a great dad." He lied. No, he didn't. But it's one of those things at the time. You know, if at that point when that reality hit, I would have liked to have undone it all. I was so scared. I'd never changed a diaper. I just knew where they were at in the store, and I avoided that aisle. You know, I'd never fed a baby. I held a couple of them when my nieces were little, and that was like fun for 5 minutes. Then I gave them back. They were hot. But like my father told me, and then as I was praying, God smiled. Put that funnel on my head and some more information got in to say that the best is yet to come. Continue to prepare. Continue to learn the lessons. Continue to walk down the road. And your trepidation is normal, but keep walking forward. As believers, we need to understand and know that the reward is in the future. There will be a day when we will walk upon the streets of gold. We will walk in perfection. And not only will everybody else be perfect, we'll be perfect. And I just can't wait for that. I can't wait to never be wrong again. We won't be. But we'll all agree. It won't be a special thing. Everybody will be that way. And I don't know which is going to be better, that I'm always going to be right or you all are always going to be right. I kind of like the whole thing. You see, that's all the good stuff that's promised and it's waiting for us until we can get there. But God says, while we're here, we have work to do. And the work that we do here is the preparation that we need to get there. I was asked, well, how come some people are Christians all their lives and other people don't become Christians till the last minute? And I said, I don't know, but when they get it, they get it. And God said, you've got it. Maybe he took them home before they could get rid of it. I don't know, but I do know this. God loves us. And while we're here, we get to prepare. I want to live to be old, so I got a lot of time to prepare. Because I want to walk into heaven, and I want to know what's coming. And I know that we'll be in the presence of God. Man, that's going to be cool. We know what lies ahead. We know the promise that we have. Life here on this planet can be a little trying. Life here can beat us up. Life here can kick us when we're down. Life here can deliver news that we don't want to hear. But God has promised that forever is a guarantee. And that forever is coming. It's kind of like a carrot that dangles before us, giving us hope. Keeping the horse pulling it at the sleigh. Keeps us yearning for that time when we'll be with him, that gives us hope in the midst of the struggle that we find ourselves in here upon this earth. And yet, as it's there, as it gives hope for the future, we need to be careful lest we get bogged down right here, that we get trapped by the baggage in life and tempted to live in the past rather than looking to the future. My encouragement today is similar to last week. Let it go and move forward. Life is an adventure full of plot twists and surprises, and at the same time, we have the eternal assurance of where we will ultimately end up. Live like the best is yet to come, even when we can't see it. The third thing that I'd like to talk about this morning, the third step in starting a new thing, is to walk by faith and not by sight. Truth is, it's way easier to believe God will do something new and good in your life if you can see a blueprint of what it might look like. And not many people go blindly wandering out on an adventure without knowing where they're going. And yet at some level, that's what a life of faith really looks like. Simply cannot be in control all the time. In fact, we probably control far less than we think we do, and we can't stop other people's choices from impacting ours. We can't insulate ourselves from every potentially bad or damaging situation in life, but we get to choose whether or not we'll hold on to our baggage, and if we choose every day to move forward, even if the path is unknown. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's several verses I want to share with you this morning. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because where we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan in our burden because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is yet to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith and not by sight. It's telling us in so many words in these verses that God has guaranteed for us an eternity. And it is there waiting for us. And when we transition from this life to the next, it will be there. It will be a smooth transition. It'll be walking through that doorway of death that we might live eternally. And what a wonderful thing that is. And while we're here, we're confined by this body. And this body's going to have trouble. This body's going to get old. This body gets worn down. Even when we're doing good things like remodeling our basement, it continues to wear on us. And it gives us pain and gives us struggle, and there's things that go wrong. And why our body and not somebody else's? These are all questions we might have, but these are all things that happen because our bodies here are affected by sin. And these dwellings are temporary. It's like living in a tent. You ever live in a tent? I've not lived in a tent. I've spent a week in a tent, and that was plenty. But I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. I've never been in a tent that doesn't leak. I've never been in a tent that doesn't get old and shakes when the wind blows. I've never been in a tent that I thought, here is how I want to spend the rest of my life. I'm so glad that I have a home to go to that's built, that's solid, that I don't have to worry about it leaking. I don't have to worry about the wind. I know that I'm safe inside and I can reside there. The same happens in these mortal bodies. They're here. They're temporary. They're to get us from where we are to where we're headed. And where we're headed is an eternity with God. This is to get us here so we can get prepped for what's ahead. While Lynn was pregnant with Aaron, I started doing my homework because I wanted to be a good dad. And I read books, none of which were really helpful, but I read them because I wanted to know everything that I could know. And I actually tried to hang around with people with little ones that I knew. I mean, I wasn't being weird. But to see what did they do and what did they not do? And I remember the first time I changed a diaper at the hospital. It was time for the diaper to be changed. And I waited. The nurse said, here, I'll change it for you. And man, I was laser on her. Because she's like, you need to be real careful with the baby's head. And, you know, don't move it and don't drop it and don't spin it and don't do anything. And she used that thing like a rag doll. She did everything but hold it up by its feet and give it a good shaking. I mean, I was unbelievable. I said, the human body can actually twist that way. It gave me so much hope because I understood babies are fragile, but at the same time, they're there and God has glued them together with something way better than duct tape. And it was wonderful. And I watched what she did and didn't do and tried to do the same, and I learned many lessons in the days to come. And I even said at one time, maybe, God, we should just throw away the first one because we do so many things wrong. Then I hit a certain age, you just evaporate. Because I was so concerned about all the mistakes that I made with my kids. And Lord, how are they ever going to turn out okay? How are they ever going to have a chance to survive in this world? I mean, I tried really hard. I did my best, but really? God said, walk by faith and not by sight, because you just don't know. Never knew or dreamed that my son would walk into the ministry. How far, how long, these things I do not know. But I know he's following what God is asking of him. And doggone, I'm a good dad. We walk through difficult times here. acknowledging that we walk by faith and not by sight, because I can't see everything that's going to happen. I can try and protect my kids, but stuff still happens. I can try every time to make the right decision, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. And in my life, I know that if I concentrate on God, all the rest of the stuff will take its rightful spot. And even in the midst of a fallen world, even in the midst of a fallen pastor, we still follow the God that loves us so much. Are we willing to start a new thing? Or are we willing to take on an uncertain future, to take a step and say, I know that God is asking us to take another step, whatever that might be. And we'll walk by faith and not by sight. We know that God will outfit us and give us what we need. Our job is to just walk with Him. Will we do just that and walk with Him? Because we don't know what all is going to happen. He just says, come and follow me. Are we willing to do that? To let go of what is behind us and reach for that which is yet to come? Remember in Scripture about doubting Thomas? Doubting Thomas wasn't sure that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. He just wanted to know. And he said, unless I put my finger in his hand and my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus appeared, stretched out his hands, bared his side, and said, see, Thomas, it's true. And he said, look, blessed are those who see and follow, but even more so, blessed are those who are willing to walk forward, not knowing for sure what lies ahead, only that Jesus is there and we are called upon to be with Him. I have a little story. I found this on the internet this morning, so it must be true. Conversation between an individual and God, and it goes like this. Hey, God. God says, hello, my love. Me, I'm falling apart. Can you put me back together? And God said, I'd rather not. Me going. And God says, because you're not a puzzle. Me saying, well, what about all of the pieces of my life that are falling down to the ground? And God says, let them stay there for a while. They fell off for a reason. Take some time and decide if you need to pick any of those pieces back up. Me, you don't understand, God. I'm breaking down. God said, no, you don't understand. You're breaking through. What you're feeling is just growing pains. You are shedding the things and the people in your life that are holding you back. You're not falling apart. You're falling into place. So relax. Take some deep breaths and allow those things you don't need anymore to fall off. Quit holding on to the pieces that don't fit you anymore. Let them fall off. Let them go. Me, once I start doing that, what will be left for me? God, only the very best pieces of you. Me, I'm scared of changing. God, I keep telling you, you're not changing. You are becoming. Me, becoming who? God, becoming who I created you to be. A person of light and love and charity and hope and courage and joy and mercy and grace and compassion. I made you for more than the shallow pieces you have decided to adorn yourself with that cling to you with such greed and fear. Let those things fall off you. I love you. Don't change. Become. 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 Become who I made you to be. I'm going to keep telling you this until you remember it. Me. There goes another piece. God. Yep. Let it be. Me. So, I'm not broken. God, no. You are breaking like the dawn. It is a new day. Become. Become. Are you ready to become? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are God and we are not. really hard sometimes to not only admit it, but to admit it in our deepest of hearts, because it means that I'm not in control, but you are. And Lord, I need help with that, and I need you to help me to become the person you've created me to be. I'm not sure which pieces to let go of and which pieces to hold on to. But Lord, I need to allow that to happen in my heart and in my life. So Lord, walk with me and give me courage. Give me the strength to know. And Lord, if I don't understand, put a funnel on my head and speak slowly so that I can get it all. Because I really want to serve you. I want to be the person that you've created me to be, but I know there's baggage that needs to go away. Help us, help me to become who you've created me to be and to continue to become that person until I see you face to face. Walk with us, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a song. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to reiterate, our altar is always open. Sometimes as we become, we need to do something special to take the next step. The altars are open to come and to pray and to pour that out on the altar to leave our baggage here where it needs to be.
We invite you to stand to sing "Come Everyone Who Is Thirsty."
Come everyone who is thirsty in spirit. Come everyone who is weary and sad. Come to the fountain, there's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift that I'm bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage? Weary of earth joy, so false, so untrue. Thirsty for God and His fullness of blessing. Listen to the promise, a message for you. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift that I'm bringing. While you were seeking me, I will be found. Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. Till the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift that I'm bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found.
May God's hand continue to be upon us, to give us hope, to give us the courage that we need to let our baggage slowly fade away. Amen.